for marriage. Amen? It's called the undefiled marriage bed. And it's a very intimate time that a husband and a wife can enjoy together, right? But how many of you know you can't live in the marriage bed? Right? It's good to have those times, but you go outside the marriage bed into life, and there you find out if your fidelity and your love is true. When you're no longer just enraptured in their presence, but are you loyal to them beyond that? Here, I'll get where I'm going. And see, that's what we need to strive for. Yes, I love to worship. I love to pray. I love the presence. I love His presence manifest, the glory. But I'm telling you, we've got to also know how to walk with the same loving adoration just in everyday life. Walking with the Father, realizing Holy Spirit has never left me, nor will He ever forsake me. Hallelujah. I always tell people, I believe in fresh outpourings, but it didn't mean that He left and came back. It just means I'm opening up for more than I've ever known before. Hallelujah. He's not deserted us. Glory be to God. You can smile now. So we know the greatest commandment is to Lord, love the Lord our God, right? With all our heart, soul, mind, and our strength. Do you remember what the second one is? And to love our neighbor as we would ourselves. Amen? And to His disciples, He said, love one another. Make sure you love the body of Christ. Amen? Look what He says here in John 15:12. John, if you notice, John, the beloved disciple, wrote much about love and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. He constantly wrote about that. That was his main theme. Jesus, again, speaking here in John 15:12, He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Hallelujah. Now, you know, friendship with Jesus doesn't mean He's no longer Lord. Right. Hello? Don't confuse that. That's not what He's talking about here. But He's talking about love. Love is a command. And I think that's where we struggle, because we tend to be very much a sensory people. We want things now. We want to feel it. If I don't feel it, I ain't going there. Right? We'll even sometimes condemn a service because we didn't feel it was anointed. It was anointed as you would let it be. Hallelujah. It's a commandment to love. It's the royal law of the kingdom of God, to love our God. But how many of you know, if it's a law, then it's something you choose to do or not. And we have to, if we violate the command, what ends up happening is I start to live and pursue the wrong things. Anybody been there with me? I start to live for and pursue the wrong things. And then I live in fear and the slavery of sin. And I'm paralyzed from doing the word and the will of God. Everybody remembers Peter, right? The disciple with the foot-shaped mouth. Peter needed to understand the love of God. Out of his embarrassment for denying the Lord, even though Jesus told him he was going to do it, you remember what happened? You remember what he did? He took off and went back fishing. How many know the prophetic word over his life was, I'm going to make you what? A fisher of men, not a fisher of fish. He wasn't any good at that anyway. I've never seen a story about Peter where he was catching anything until Jesus showed up and bailed him out. Think about it. That's how he met Jesus initially, remember? Powerful story. But he returned to his old life of fishing. But I tell you, it was because of fear, but it was also because of the lack of love and understanding of the love of God for him. But Jesus, who is love, sought him out. Aren't you glad? Jesus, don't you love Jesus? He's so cool. He's on this beach, on the side of the seashore, making breakfast for him. He's cooking breakfast. And he cries out to Peter. At the time, Peter doesn't know who it is. Basically saying, you guys catching anything? And we know Peter's response, nah, nada. Been fishing all night. I'll tell you, the guy was in the wrong business. He should have been a mechanic or something. He's in the wrong business. And now you got to remember, we think of fishing casually, but they were fishing for their livelihood, okay? And it was a vocation, so to speak. And Jesus gives them directions how to cast the net. And we know the story. Second verse of the same song, right? They got a huge catch of fish. And Peter looks at one of his friends and says, it's the Lord. I have been here before. That's the Lord. He threw himself in the water and swam to shore. You remember what Jesus said to him? Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. Now, of course, Jesus said, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter answered, I phileo you. In other words, that brotherly love. And Jesus said, then take care of my lambs. He asked him three different times, do you love me? And Peter would respond, I love you, Lord. You know I love you. Almost in frustration. Interestingly, he denied him three times. There's a lot of talk about why he asked him three times. But the bottom line was this, guys. Get this, please. If you love the Lord, you're going to love his people. You're going to care for his people. You're going to care about the people of God. Amen? Tend to my lambs. Peter needed to experience and understand the love of God in a very personal way. As Paul writes, that surpasses the mere knowledge of the love of God. He needed that. Because the problem was, I don't think he knew it beyond that at that time. But this changed his life. This event changed his life. I think it was because the fact that he was still accepted after all he had done. But he didn't hear what Jesus said. He said, I'm praying for you that when you return, you'll strengthen your brothers again. Jesus was praying for his return. He wasn't praying for his damnation. Are you with me? Remember John? What's John called? The beloved. He was the one that would place his head on Jesus' breast, on his chest, close to his heart. He was dear, close to the Lord. He's beloved of God. He was called John the Beloved. And John, interestingly, after Jesus was taken in and placed on trial and beaten and crucified and nailed to a cross, where was John? The only one that was at the foot of the cross with Jesus' mother, with a brave woman. Amen? And they were there out of their love. Are y'all with me? Perfected love casts out all fear. See, if we'll emphasize the love, what happens is fear has no place in our hearts anymore. Does it make sense to you? And this is why the Father's choosing from among worshipers. Because if I got a worshiping heart, okay, I can use that for my glory. He wants us to experience the things of the Spirit and know the love of God. We love because he what? First, loved us. But can I tell you, we have to receive the love of God. I believe more than anything in this time, it's one thing to say, oh, he loves me, all that. We can sing that all we want. But it's to open up and receive that love into our heart and let God love on your heart. It'll change your life. Because we're supposed to freely give what we have freely received. And that doesn't happen. It's hard to love your neighbor as you would yourself. It's hard to even to love people in the body of Christ if you've not opened up to the love of Jesus. John wrote about it again, this time not in his gospel, but in his epistle. Look at 1 John 4 with me. 1 John 4, verse 15. He writes, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Y'all get that? God abides in him and he in God. How many of you here have confessed him? Come on. Have you confessed him? Then guess what? He abides in you and you abide in God. Hallelujah. And we have come to know. Now that word is the same word again. To experience and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love and the one who abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. By this, love is what? Perfected within us. So that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is, say it, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. And we love because he first loved us. Hallelujah. Now we know Peter was transformed. Would you agree with me? By the baptism with the Holy Spirit, right? He went from a man full of fear, fleeing his calling, to a man full of boldness and power, pursuing his calling as the apostle of the Lord. No doubt about it. But what I would like to present to you today is I believe it was the love encounter that set up him receiving the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit encounter was set up by the love encounter. So that he could be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit with the rest of the 120. Otherwise, think about it. If he had not had the love encounter, he would have been out on a boat on a lake going bankrupt instead of doing what he was supposed to be doing. But see, love drew him back to the upper room and positioned him. Come on, I get this. It positioned him for the outpouring. That's why worship is always a part of it for what God wants to do. His love encounter cast out fear, and Peter wasn't the same man after that. Hallelujah. We all need to believe the love that the Lord has for us. Would you agree with me? And we need to know and experience that love. I want to challenge you today, because I believe in this day and hour like never before. Think about this. If we're closer than ever before to our bridegroom's return, would you not think this aspect of love is important? Because remember, the virgins that didn't have oil in their lamps, what did the Lord say to them? I never knew you. Literally means in the Greek, we were not intimate. Wow. I want to be intimate with him. Amen. No one of us would ever want to hear those words, right? And I'm telling you, it's the oil of intimacy that we need. Let's determine together to pursue and enter into a new day of Pentecost. For us as a church and as the people of God, and for your family and your household. Amen? A life in the Spirit. We can all go deeper and further than we do go now in the Spirit. Amen? Understand this, as I've shared this verse with you so many times. He is like a jealous lover who desires for more of his Spirit to have our heart than ever before. He wants the deep intimacy with us. He's actually jealous about it. As we read so many times in James over the past few weeks that I've shared with you. There are four things that I believe are key for us to be in position for receiving a Holy Spirit encounter. Number one, we must pursue the Holy Spirit encounter. I mean, if you want an outpouring, you need to pursue it. How do we pursue it? In worship, in prayer, singing, praying in the Spirit. That's how you position yourself. Number two, we have to have a willingness to not only come, but receive. The word receive, as I've taught you many times, means to take hold of something. And when God's doing something, if fresh oil is being poured out, you ought to be the first one to get your dose of it, right? We need to be that kind of a people, amen? Lord, I want what you're giving today. Number three, this is very important. Hang with me here on this. It's very important. Submit and train your spiritual senses to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we can train our senses to discern good and evil. Your senses, you have spiritual senses of your heart. Okay? Just as you have physical senses, you have spiritual senses, and you can train them to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I think that for me, this is what's helped me more than anything. Stay with me now. And I spoke on it earlier, and I'm coming all the way full circle here. We have to be intentional to look and to lean in and listen. Are you with me? And to take that time to meditate upon the Word of God and meditate upon the things of God. And I'm telling you, when you're intentional, you start hearing things that you didn't hear before. You're not hearing voices. I don't mean it like that. But you start to hear the voice that you need to hear. You start to see things. The Word jumps out at you and comes alive. Are y'all with me? Yeah. Intentionality. Say intentional. And then the fourth thing, very important. Because a lot of, when you're talking about Pentecost, and you're talking about the Holy Spirit, I'm amazed at people that almost act like there has to be a divide between whether you're a Holy Spirit man or a Word man. Why are we dividing them? You have to abide in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. You have to renew. We need to make a renewed commitment to the Word of God. To be a disciple of the Word. Because here's what James said. If you will look intentionally at the perfect law of liberty as in a mirror, you're going to see your image. That's how powerful that is. Well, if you don't ever look in the mirror, guess what? You won't know who you are in Christ. Y'all getting this? And we're also told to treasure this Word. We're to value it, keep it close to our heart. If you'll treasure it, one thing I've learned, the more I treasure the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's got a great depository to pull from. Amen? He'll give me a word, something pull out of me. I didn't even intentionally memorize it. It was just really special to me, and I treasured it, and it became something the Holy Spirit could draw on in a time of ministry or just for me to hear when I needed to hear it. The Holy Spirit would draw on that treasure. And can I tell you, when you see a promise in the Word of God, come to Jesus with it in prayer and receive it. Activate your faith. It's the most honoring thing you can do is to take him at his word. Right? I mean, if I gave you my word and then you acted differently, like you didn't really believe my word stood for much, that would dishonor me. Right? In the same way. So I want to encourage you in that. Get aggressive about it. What does it say? All of the promises are yes to you. And we're to give our amen to that promise. That's our verbal, oral agreement to say, Lord, be it unto me. Amen. But let me say this. Guard against becoming religious with the word. People can become very religious with this book. It's a good time to say amen, too, because you've been around it. This word is not merely a history book, though it is historical. And it's certainly not meant to be just some theological textbook that we're going to debate and see if we can prove it. It is living and active. Come on. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Are y'all with me? It's how you approach it. You can't really treasure it if you approach it the other way, according to natural knowledge. You got to approach it as the spiritual book that it is. And I'll tell you what. Oh, there's things we've not yet to see. I've come across verses that I've read and I've taught and I've preached and I taught in Bible college and all this stuff. And then suddenly I see something in it that I never saw before. What does revelation mean? To pull back the veil. It's like the Holy Spirit gave me a peek of something that I was too blind to see. I wasn't looking for it. So I'm always excited to look again. I'm always excited to listen and lean in again to what God has for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus actually addressed the religious leaders because they knew the scriptures in their minds, but it wasn't in their heart. And he addressed it. Look what he says in John 5:39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them, these scriptures, you have eternal life. But it is these, the scriptures, that testify about me, the Lord says. And you are what? Come on. Unwilling to come to me that you may have life. What does he say? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish or whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. Amen? Think about it this way. If you and I will abide in the word of God in the spirit, say with me, if you abide in the word of God in the spirit, what happens is it develops a desire in you for the very thing that the word's telling you you can have. Y'all getting this? As you, it develops a desire in you for the things of God, because that's one thing we need in our prayers again, is a desire. And the Lord will grant it. He reminds me, hold on. These are precious and magnificent promises by which you can partake of my divine nature. Hallelujah. And they are yes to you. And let me just say this again about the word. The spirit and the word work together. They're not separate things. At creation, what was the spirit of God doing? He was brooding, right? He's brooding over, incubating over the surface of the earth and the deep, right? God would say, let there be light. And the creative power of the Holy Spirit, there was light. So it was a combination of the Word of God with the brooding Holy. You have the Holy Spirit in you. The creative power is within you. Amen. By the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. What did God say? I've shared this verse with you so many times. If you want to look it up later, as the end of Isaiah 59 going into Isaiah 60, the Lord said, this is my covenant that I have established with them. In other words, God's saying, this is how my covenant works. My spirit, which is upon you, and my words, which are in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, both now and forevermore. Then he says, arise and shine, for your light has come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time. I'm convinced of this. It's the Spirit that we're receiving today and the Word of God that brings out revelations. It brings forth the hearing of His voice. It brings forth dreams and visions, prophetic insights, and encounters with God. Hallelujah. If we want to be a true disciple, we know this one well from John 8. If you abide in my Word, then you are what? Truly disciples of mine. And you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The anointing teaches us and causes this word to come alive. You know, the word for word, W-O-R-D, is logos. Right? This right here, we would call this logos. It has been spoken and recorded. Are y'all with me? It's logos. What happens when the Holy Spirit illumines it? It becomes another word, rhema. R-H-E-M-A. And the best way I ever heard it said, what was spoken becomes speaking. Under the Holy Spirit, what was spoken now is speaking to you. Hallelujah. So that's going to make some of you get in the Bible this afternoon. You're going to be like, man, hallelujah. I'm convinced the Holy Spirit was poured out upon that 120 because they were discipled in the Word. Because he began to prophesy things, and Peter stood up and prophesied. He didn't go over and grab the scroll of the book of the prophet Joel. It came out of him under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I've been speaking to you these last several weeks about the signs of the end of the times, the birth pangs, the shaking of everything that can be shaken. And boy, maybe I need to change my subject matter. But here's the thing. We got to be careful that we don't miss the restoration of all things. And that we don't miss the remnant bride rising up and being ready for his coming and operating in triumph. Amen? We got to be careful. It's a delicate balance when you're looking at what's going on and then looking at what we're supposed to be focused on. Because the difficulty of these days, I don't know about you, but we need to shine like never before. And we need fresh oil to be able to do it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm not just quoting something that Elijah said. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I believe there's a torrent coming. Like anything we've ever seen before. I believe that with all my heart. But we need to be determined to press in and to pursue it. There are four supernatural things that are actually intertwined together in the spirit. And they belong to us by faith. And we need to pursue them and seek them quickly. I'm just going to give them to you. Number one, his presence. How many know we need his presence? Amen. Come on. In his presence is what? The fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Number two, we need his protection. Hello. We need his protection. We are under the blood. We're under the shadow of his wings. And by the way, that's a supernatural protection. It's not because I'm packing. Okay? And I know some karate or something. No. It's the protection of God. Number three, his purpose. You might say, that's odd. But we do need to know why we're here. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and demonstrate it. Amen? So that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're supposed to live for. Ultimately, that's all of our purpose, is it not? That's why we're here. Which actually leads to the fourth thing we need. Because if we do that one, it leads to number four. And I want to hear a lot of amens on this because you know it's true. His provision. Hallelujah. Come on. Don't be shy about that. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Glory be to God. All these things, Jesus said, will be added unto you if you'll seek first my kingdom. Come on now. Whether you're in an economic downturn or not. Whether things are shaking on your job or not, I'm going to provide for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So especially during these troubled times, I don't know about you, but I need his supernatural presence, protection, purpose, and provision operating in my life. Hallelujah. Because it's in the spirit. It's in the kingdom of God. It's supernatural. Super means over and above the natural. The natural will shake you up. If you live in the natural realm only, man, these are shaky times, but the supernatural kind of soars above it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Paul, by the way, who knew not Jesus in the flesh. We forget that sometimes. He wasn't a part of the 12, but he was an apostle. But he never knew Jesus in the flesh. He knew him well in the spirit, though, and he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And even talked about events that he wasn't at. And quoted them perfectly, like communion, the Passover, and the Lord's Supper. But he talked about revelation and wisdom by the Spirit. He talked about the power that's working in you and me is the same power that raised Jesus from the grave. He talked about how the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Everything for Paul, it was the Holy Spirit. He also makes it clear that our fellowship was with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we don't think of it that way, but we fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit. He closed his 2 Corinthians letter with this. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. I want to challenge you. Let's go into a new season this Pentecost with deeper fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's set our hearts to worship him and fellowship. I want to develop more of a continual fellowship. I love that book that was written many, many years ago by Benny Hinn. He wrote a book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And all the theologians got all upset, got in a tizzy about it. It's a great book. He talks about, I walk in unity with him. I love him. I wake up in the morning and I say hi. Right? So it's important. Amen. Don't go out and run and buy the book. Just pop, Marvin will rent you his copy, huh? Let's set our hearts to go deeper. Amen. I say go deeper. Hallelujah. There's more and we need to begin to pursue it. But we need to always learn how to be in the Spirit. I don't know. I want to get to the place where every time we gather together, we're in the Spirit. John said that in Revelation. What did he say? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And not just on the Lord's day, but how about in the Spirit in your prayer closet? How about in the Spirit driving to work? Explain that one to the cop. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, Peter quoted from the book of the prophet Joel. We read it earlier, right? But did you know that Joel also made some other very prophetic statements regarding the Holy Spirit? He didn't quote the whole passage. He said this, "I will bring the early and the latter rains." I had just meditated on those passages. Let me give you the other one. He said, "I will bring an overflowing of new wine and oil." We were singing that today. Amen. He also said, I love this one. "I will make up to you for the years that the enemy has stolen." Come on. Isn't that awesome? But I want to talk about the early and latter rains for just a moment. The early and latter rains speak of a time of like a shower and then a heavier shower and seasonal rains and all of that. But he's talking about the Spirit of God. And last night, Susan and I, we're kind of late. We've been down here cleaning the building and getting the children's church room ready and doing things. I don't know. Time just kind of ran late. And I just wanted a Firehouse sub. I think they should pay me a royalty for mentioning this on the recording. Are there Firehouse subs in Memphis? I don't know. But anyway, so I drive over. I get out in the car. And in the area from Chandler where I live toward the Santan Valley, there's a dust storm going on. And the wind's blowing. I'm like, I mean, you know, most of us know it's late May, early June. It's a little early for that. You know, it's usually July and August. And I'm like, whoa. And then I got around the corner where I could see around my neighborhood, and it was just dark over in the Santan Valley. And by the time I got to Firehouse Subs, which was on Gilbert Road, it was a downpour. And the Lord reminded me, it's been a sign to us. I'm almost going to lose it here. It's been a sign to us since we moved here, the sign of rain. And the Lord told me, that's the way it's going to be. I'm going to surprise you. Amen. With some downpours of my Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody ready for that? I'm going to surprise you. Amen. Not because you drove to surprise, but because I surprised you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Lord, surprise us. Surprise us, Lord. I called Susan. I said, did you get a warning? Because we used to get a warning on our phone. About the time I said that, my phone went, you know, started telling me it was a little bit late. And I'm just thinking, I'm driving down Queen Creek going back to my house, and the road's flooded from the water. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I know you're speaking to me. I wanted to pull over and just celebrate that, but my sandwich would have gotten cold. And oh, more, Lord. Surprise us. Hallelujah. It's time to arise and shine. Amen.
I thought that same thing yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, I saw one raindrop in my windshield, and I was like,
where did that come from? Yeah.
And all I thought of was like,
all of you back in Memphis where it's been raining every other day this spring and early summer, I bless you. But for us, it's like, you know, we're out there with our tongues out going, you know. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, he will bring a river. Amen? Hallelujah. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And get this, though darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness is upon the peoples, the glory of the Lord will rise upon you. Come on. Hallelujah. See, that's the word for us. It's not a time to... I wrote this down. I got to say what I said. I wrote it down. I wanted to get it right. I'm almost done. We're going to pray. I can't remember where I wrote it now, but anyway. Oh, I said this. The Lord said to me, I need my people to arise and shine, not cower down and hide. You know, we don't need to run to the wine press like Gideon did initially and just hide out, try to avoid any conflict. We need to arise and shine like never before. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's time. Guys, would you come on up? Hallelujah. I want to ask you to do something. I want us to pray with you. I want us to respond to the Lord this morning, and then you're free to leave. I would like to say this before we get into that. Just because of the tightness of our facility, for fellowshipping and hanging out, can we just go out in the shade on the front porch or down even in that courtyard area just down next door to us if you want to visit with some folks and all? Because it gets really crowded in here, and we'll be all over the top of each other. Let's try to be respectful of one another's space, okay? Yes? Amen? Okay. And... but here's what I want to do is just ask the Lord to come. And you can stay seated if you want. You can stand. You can kneel down. Whatever posture you want to get in. But would you get in a prayer posture right now before the Lord? Lift our faces toward the heavens. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm just going to pray some things. I just want you just to agree with me in prayer. I'm just going to pray these things. I'm not going to ask you to repeat after me, but I do want you just to say your yeses and amens to these promises and prayers before the Lord right now. Would you just do that? Lord Jesus, we come today and we open our hearts to you. We open our hearts to your great love and your mercy that you have for us, Lord. And we believe, Lord, that we can experience this love. And I pray today for every man and woman in this room. And I pray for every child. And I pray for all of our friends that are watching online today. I pray for you right now. Would you just lift your face toward heaven and receive his love in a mighty and fresh and new way right now? Even ask him right now, Lord, let me experience your love. I've come to know your love, but I want to experience it. I believe you love me, Lord. But I want to be deeper in worship. I hear the Lord saying to some of you, you felt like Peter. You've kind of abandoned your assignment from time to time and felt like you've run the other way and that you're no longer accepted or no longer qualified. But the Lord Jesus says to you today, my love and my blood has qualified you for such a time as this. Open your heart to the love of God. Open your heart to the love of God that all fear would be cast out. No more fear. No more anxiety. No more intimidation by the enemy or the enemy's plans and schemes. Say no more. Say no more in Jesus' name. Say, I am loved by God. I am loved by God. Say, I am loved by God. You're a good, good Father. Yeah, yeah. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I am loved by you. Oh, I am loved by you. Say, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are, and I am loved by you. I am loved by you. Come on, sing that again, a new melody. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, and I am loved by you. Oh, Lord, I'm loved by you. Sing it out. You're a good, good Father. And it is who you are. And I'm loved by you. Loved by you. Lord Jesus, we desire today to live our lives aware of you. Expectant of you, Holy Spirit. And we set our hearts today to be intentional. Come on, say yes to that. To be intentional seekers, Lord. To choose to delight in you. That you would give us the desires of our heart. Lord, we repent this morning of not living in the Spirit. But let this Pentecost be the beginning of a new day, Lord. A new day for us to live in the Spirit. Baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. To overflowing, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come on, lift up your hands and worship. Holy Spirit, come. Come for the four winds, Lord. Oh, come from every direction, Lord. Come in a mighty downpour. I release over you surprises in the Holy Ghost. Surprises in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. More, Lord. More, Lord. Baptize us again. Baptize us again. Oh, come on, press in. Press into the Lord. Hallelujah.